Hey, you are listening to The Workplace Theatre. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace. I'm your host, Sabine M., and in today's episode, I'm speaking with Marta Lima. Marta is an innovation manager at Vodafone and has a focus on the digital workplace. Hi, everyone. I'm today speaking to Marta Lima. We actually met, I think, 2 weeks ago at a panel discussion, and I really loved her presentation around digital workplaces because that's what she's focused on in her work at Vodafone. And let's dive right into that. Hello, Marta.
Hello.
Glad you made it. Can you tell me and your in the audience a little more about what you do
and
what your role is?
Of course I can. Thank you so much for the intro. So I work at Vodafone, and actually I have two roles at the moment at Vodafone. So I like to say, as my day job, I'm an innovation manager for the digital workplace. And then as my gay job, I'm the co-chair for the LGBT network in our London office in Paddington. Just to give you a bit more context, so in terms of the innovation manager role, so what I do is I identify opportunities to improve the digital experience for our Vodafone employees globally, to improve remote collaboration and productivity. So just to give you some examples, so I act as an internal innovation consultant by organizing workshops like design thinking or running hackathons with employees. And I run sessions to upskill people on new technology. And I use design thinking to identify opportunities for improving that experience and run pilots on new technology solutions that help our employees to be more productive. And
so basically what everybody would like to tap in right now to unlock the potential of employees in the digital workplace, right?
It's quite a hot topic at the moment.
So before the digital workplace was that hot topic and palpable for everyone, how did you tell your family and friends what you did?
Well, my mom always thought I was just an expert on Microsoft Teams calls. Or that I fixed laptops. No, but really, so what I'll tell them is I help people to work better at Vodafone. That's quite simply what I usually tell them. And I also tell them that I manage an innovation space in our office, or that I used to manage this space in the office in London. Obviously, now with COVID, it's a bit different. Yeah, I tell them I'm the tech side of HR, essentially.
Nicely put. I want to talk about that innovation space later. But before that, how do I become an innovation manager? What's your professional background?
So my background, so I'm actually a computer engineer. I studied in Lisbon in Portugal, and I started working in Portugal in the IoT space for Vodafone. And I had those hard skills, programming skills from my computer engineering degree. But I wanted to learn a bit more about how to build great products and how to do innovation and all of the methodologies to help put those skills in practice and building products that business and users want. Then I found an opportunity for a 3-month international placement in London for innovation, working with startups and universities in London, which was really fun. And those 3 months turned into 3 years now. So while I was working in this innovation team, I actually got a permanent role in a different innovation team. So it was around the time that VLab, the space that I manage, this innovation space that I manage, opened. And I was there when it opened, and I was so excited about everything that was going on that I managed to get the role there. And yes, here I am now.
So cool that you got the job that you dreamed of, kind of.
I think so.
Now, you mentioned earlier you describe yourself as tech side of HR. As an innovation manager, who are your typical stakeholders in the company?
That's a good question. So my team sits within the technology function. So we are really focused on the technology side of things. So we allow for employees, everything that employees use, from the devices, laptops, to the software that they use, is my team's responsibility. But obviously, we do this with an employee experience hat on. And for this, we work closely with HR teams So I work a lot with HR teams that help us to define the what is the employee experience that we want to achieve for employees. And also, especially now with this return to work and all that's been happening, we also work a lot with the property teams that are responsible for the offices. I would say those are our big stakeholders, so HR and property.
Yeah. Do you work with external vendors as well?
Yeah, so I tend to, in my job, so I'm almost like the scout for new workplace technology. So I go to a lot of external events to find what's out there in the market. And then when there are opportunities for those companies, or there's a space where we could explore new capabilities, digital workplace capabilities, we run pilots or proofs of concept to test those technologies with our employees internally. So yeah, a lot with vendors, and we are using a lot of the Microsoft services. So we work quite closely as well with Microsoft.
I like to ask people, because we've all been in remote work for a while now, and I know from you that you haven't been to the office for over a year now.
Yeah, since March last year. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say are the things that you value most in the office as a work environment? And on the other end of the spectrum as well, are there things that you don't miss or would actually drive you away from going there?
I mean, this is probably what everyone would say, but it's really about the social relationships. I'm an extrovert. I consider myself an extrovert, and I get inspired and motivated by talking to people. And so I really miss this turning to someone sitting next to me and, I don't know, discussing an idea and bumping into people in the office and talking to them. I really miss that social element of the office. So this has been hard, especially in the beginning, to get adjusted to working in at home by yourself. I think it's a different, you need to have a different energy for that. And with that, diversity for sure is something that is quite important to me. Obviously, as I mentioned, I'm part of the LGBT network. And one of the things that I really love about Vodafone is the fact that we have people from all over the world and in the same space, and you feel that kind of culture the moment you walk into the office. And I think it is different when you're working from home. You don't really see other people's reality. So you only see your close group of people that you work with. And I think that's something that I quite miss. Something that would drive me away from the office or keep me mostly at home, I guess the flexibility, right? So it's what everyone has been saying they love. It's the fact that you can, I don't know, wash your clothes during the day and then have that flexibility. But I do prefer the office, I have to say, for the reasons I mentioned.
Yeah. Also, you mentioned you manage the VLab and have been involved in creating this innovation space that you might miss now as well. Can you tell us a little bit more about that space?
Yes, of course. So it's called VLab, and it's quite unique in the sense that it is an employee innovation space. So I actually visited a few innovation spaces of other companies, which are mostly focused on customer, on the client side. So they're building products for our clients. And our space in that sense is quite unique because it is really focused on employees. So the purpose of the space is to bring people together, to collaborate, to learn something new. And through that, we do design thinking sessions, we do hackathons, a lot of those kinds of brainstorming, co-creation sessions. And the key thing for us is to provide these moments where people bump into each other and are learning together about something. So we have workshops where people are hands-on programming Python, for example, for a morning where we invite an expert to run the session, right? So it's really about building those communities, bringing people together to promote innovation and to promote a culture of innovation. And I think in that sense, it's quite unique. Yeah, so as you can tell, I'm quite excited about that.
Yeah. Just as you mentioned Python, I remember that some of my colleagues, I mean, I have a lot of developer colleagues, we had a workshop once as well to learn Python, and I completely failed at it. I think my learning urge stops where programming starts. My brain's not wired for that.
But I mean, that's the point. You had the chance to try it out and see how it is, and you say, okay, no, it's not for me. But actually, it might happen the other way around. Maybe Python, I don't have specific examples right now, but for VR, for example, we had workshops on VR AR development, and we now have people that know how to develop VR solutions graduate that started learning in that workshop and really fell in love with the technology, and they're now building products in VR and found a new passion. So I think that's quite powerful to bring these communities together and to bring people together. And yeah, it's really nice to see it coming to life. So we had a project around VR, let's say about a year ago or more than a year ago in this VR program. And yesterday I had a call where we were seeing someone else building on what happened 1 year ago. And it's fun to see, and it's nice to see it coming together and the space building. So a physical space being the driver behind communities and innovative thinking and collaboration, I think it's quite powerful. So yeah, that's what I most love about the space. We also run big global events, which are really fun as well to do. So we organize, for example, the big Pride webinar where we have our CEO and all our exec team essentially there for 1 hour and broadcast to the whole Vodafone community. And those diversity global events are also really nice to host there. But the day-to-day stuff around the collaboration and the innovation, it's the core of our space.
And I completely agree and think it's quite powerful to allow people to learn from each other and look into things that not necessarily are part of their day-to-day or their education, because so many great things can come out of that. Because at the same time that I failed at understanding Python, a couple of my colleagues, they really picked up on it and built some really cool tools for their jobs later that made their life much easier. So that was really cool to see, actually.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I mean, there's different levels of, we try to organize things in different levels, right? So obviously you'd have the programming, hard coding workshops, but also there are a lot of citizen development tools now that people can, low code, no code, we call it, so that people with no programming skills or that don't want, still can build great things. And yeah, it's exciting.
Now, the downside being, staff still working mostly remotely and you can't use the VLab currently. Have you managed to bring it to the digital world to some extent? And if yes, how?
Yes, to some extent. Obviously, there are things you really can't replace from meeting people, but there are positives as well. So we started, on the skills session, we started to organize remote skills sessions. So instead of one morning, we would do 1 hour presentation with an exercise that the person that is leading the workshop is leading people through the exercise, so a bit more practical, or just lunch and learn sessions, which is more not necessarily hands-on. So it depends. We are a bit more restricted there because we can't give people laptops, test laptops to try things. But in that sense, we still organize these sessions at least to promote technology and to bring people together as well. The other element of this is around the innovation workshop, so design thinking. This has been quite an interesting one, actually, because we used to run these workshops, let's say, for 1 day or for half a day, but mostly for 1 day, bring people into the room, lots of sticky notes, lots of coffee, chocolate, and music. And suddenly we're stuck at home, so we can't give people chocolate. So it's quite different, because when you're running a workshop in the room, you tell people, please close your laptops, focus on the session, no technologies, just sticky notes and your energy in the room, please. And obviously, if you're doing this remotely, people tend to get more distracted because they have emails coming in or they have notifications and they have their kids at home. So it's quite different. So we adapted in a way that the sessions are shorter. We still run those sessions, but it's much more to the point, right? So instead of going through the whole journey, we tend to focus on one part of the design thinking journey, and we still put music. That's my favorite part. I'm usually the DJ in those sessions. And yeah, it's interesting because on one side, obviously you as a facilitator, what I can tell you is that it's different because you can't feel the energy of the room. You don't get the pulse of how the session is going. It's a bit different in terms of keeping people engaged, especially if they don't have their cameras on. But on the other side, it's much more inclusive. So while before we ran these sessions in London, so only people in the UK tend to attend the sessions, now we are running these sessions with people from the UK and India and Egypt at the same time. The other day, actually, we had someone joining from the US. So the US, the UK, and Germany, I think. So a lot of different time zones and a lot more inclusion there. And I believe that innovation happens when someone sees something you haven't seen, meaning that diversity is super important for innovation. So having those, having that inclusivity is, for me, something that can be very positive when you think about innovation and creativity. So I see that as a balance.
And actually something to probably try to have when you can go back to the VLAB still, to bring that other angle in as well, and maybe have a hybrid approach, using that the word that's in everybody's mouth right now, to still have someone from Egypt join the London innovation sessions. Your work circles around the digital workspace, workplace, and you're seeking to improve employee experience. Are there typical challenges that you are facing?
I think the number one challenge that we have at this point is we have great tools in our personal life. So the apps and the services that we, the digital services that we use on a day-to-day in our personal life, are really good. So people expect the same level of experience in the workplace. So they expect exactly the same level. But for us, the challenge is to make sure that the tools that we offer our employees are safe, and we have agreements in place, and we have all the data protected and all of that. So I would say that the number one challenge when I think about it is really to keep up with the pace of technology, because people tend to find ways to do what they have to do, which is fair, right? We find technology that helps us to do our jobs, but at the same time, we need to make sure we're protecting our corporate data, which is more and more important. There's a lot of, yeah, there's a lot of issues with data and privacy in the news, as you know. So it's really to find, to be fast enough to give employees the right tools while keeping them the data safe. I would say that's the big challenge for us.
And for that digital workplace experience, do you look at different employee personas?
We do. So we actually apply personas depending on the scenario. So when we think about employee experience, there's a whole journey from the moment that someone joins to the moment someone leaves. So in some cases, we might build personas around that cycle, let's say. So joiners, movers, leavers, someone that joined the company, someone that is moving internally to a different market, or someone that is leaving and we focus on that. But it might be the case that, for example, now with return to work, we might think about someone that is going to be home-based versus someone that is going to be moving in between offices, and someone that is going to be always in the office or always on the client side. So it depends really on the use case. But yes, definitely, we always work around the personas because, I mean, Vodafone has 100,000 employees. So we need to represent them in a way that we find the right opportunities and we make sure that we cover the needs of all of those different employees. So we have to do that through a representation, a persona, definitely.
Yeah, I think in the presentation from you, you mentioned as well that you look at introverts versus extroverts. And you said you were an extrovert, but an introvert might have a very different view on being remote than the extrovert.
Yes, absolutely. So that's something that has been on my mind. And it's quite interesting because to me, the natural thinking is in the office, I'm much more comfortable to walk up to someone, to say, hi, what do you think about this? And then I realized actually in some cases, introverts, but also let's say I found that younger people, I don't want to discriminate here, but I saw that younger people are most used to using technology for communicating with their friends, they're much more comfortable. This is a good thing, but much more comfortable with this remote experience and meeting people remotely, which for me was quite different to adapt to. So yeah, I think that when we consider return to work and we consider these new models, this is something that will bring opportunities for people who feel they prefer to work remotely because they like to work by themselves. That's okay. It's a good opportunity for them. But also the people that want to go to the office and still meet others still have that opportunity. So I think if we organize things in a way that we consider also these different needs, it's important. But also for employees themselves, I think it brings great opportunities to find roles in where you can be the best that you can be, because you will find opportunities for those scenarios. So opportunities where you can work remotely completely by yourself or be in the office most of the time. That's my expectation. So I think that would be good for employees.
Now, you moved from Portugal to London at Vodafone, and you've been around for a couple of years innovating around the digital workplace. How would you say workplace configurations differ maybe from country, from Portugal to the UK, or don't they? And has there been change in what Vodafone provides in the office environment?
You mean in the physical office or digital?
Physical office, for actually both. Yeah, both.
Ooh, it's a tough question, actually. Vodafone specifically, we have this company culture around global thinking with local roots. So markets have a lot of, flexibility in what they do. We have global standards, but then locally people implement things based on the needs locally, right? So we don't try to impose this. So I'm thinking it's quite different. So London by itself, it's a hub of diversity. So that was the big impact for me when I joined in London. The big change that I saw was mostly around the people, not so much the office. In terms of office space, I mean, but this is very specific. The office in Lisbon won an architectural award, so it was really nice, a really nice building. But yeah, I think it's mostly around the people that I noticed a big difference, just because of the nature of the city itself, right? So in Portugal, you see Portuguese people, and in London, you see people from all over the world. And that by itself has a different flavor when you join. How has it changed over time?
Sorry. Well, I guess one of the obvious things is that you're bringing more digital experience into the workplace.
No, absolutely. We are using more and more cloud services and tools to allow people to work asynchronously. And it was nice to see. Obviously, this was a journey that we were in before COVID, but actually COVID was as someone put it, it was the big driver for digital transformation here. We had these tools in place, but now we see how important it is to allow people to work whenever they have to and collaborate in the same document at different times when they're working on the same document, with avoiding duplication of versions and all of that. So in terms of digital experience, I'm proud to say we're quite powerful in the tools that we give our employees to do remote collaboration. And we've seen that transition, and mostly we've seen a cultural transition in where people are using the cloud to collaborate instead of sending documents over email. And this might seem small, but I think in terms of day-to-day, it really saves a lot of time. So we've seen a lot of change in culture, digital collaboration.
I know you're involved with the return to work and future of work discussions at Vodafone as well. And now looking at the future, what's Vodafone expecting or allowing in terms of remote versus on-site for the future?
So it's most expecting, I think. It was based on a lot of surveys as well. So we really tried to hear employees' feedback and listen to what people were saying. And as I mentioned before, one thing was around flexibility. So people really enjoy the flexibility that they have. But then we think also that for certain activities, so the example that I just gave around this design thinking and co-creating, this is where meeting people in person does have a benefit. So at the moment, what Vodafone is planning is, so it's a hybrid model, as you said it. So hybrid is now the big word, where we expect 60% of the time at home and then 40% in the office for those collaboration activities. So yeah, that's the big change that will happen.
Yeah. And then for the return to work, do you have or are planning to implement certain tools and processes around that?
Yes. So maybe I'll start by the things that we have already done. So there are certain things around, for example, well-being. So we noticed that people were working longer, so working, starting earlier, finishing later. And for that reason, we've implemented a change in terms of the system, the Outlook system, where the calendar system, where people, when they try to book a meeting, it automatically goes for 20 minutes instead of 30 to give people breaks in between the sessions, in between their meetings. So that was a small change, but it's trying to promote better behaviors. And you get a notification when you have 5 minutes left of the call. So really trying to promote that people take time off as well, and they're not always stuck in meetings. And we also promoted this idea around, in different departments, it was different days, but keeping one morning, for example, completely free of meetings. It was the standard in some of the departments. So yeah, I think that at the beginning, people tended to have a lot more meetings than they would normally have before COVID. So that was quite important for us. Also, there was this program around feedback data. So using machine learning to nudge people on behaviors to promote. And that was also something that has been happening. We're also thinking about what the return to work and hybrid scenarios will be. So we've set up a test lab in our London office where we are testing out different technologies for return to work and different technologies for collaboration. And also, yeah, we were going to test those technologies in the office.
When you mentioned that 20-minute approach, I remember one of my colleagues, she called it the tomato technique. It was the same somehow. I don't know why it's called the tomato technique or if I remember it correctly even, but it had a weird name. And it was like for every 30 minutes of focus work, you take 5 minutes break. Okay. And she claimed that it really helped her to be refreshed and then go to the next task and not jump from one thing to the next. So I think bringing awareness into how we work and that probably 20 minutes can suffice and a lot of the structures in meetings isn't helpful is really good.
And to that point, just to add, I mean, if we only look at productivity in terms of outcomes, and the data that we have is around, let's say, meetings, right? How many emails are sent, how many hours are spent on meetings, and only looking at that, I think it doesn't provide a complete picture of how well our employees are performing, because if you don't have those moments of focus time, you're not actually, you can't be productive if you don't have those moments of focus time, right? So that was quite important. And from my personal perspective, I think it's around the socialization as well. So I think besides finding time to focus without any meetings, it's also finding time with colleagues that it's not scheduled with an agenda so that you don't always feel like you're delivering. You also have space for casual and building social connections. I think that's quite important as well. And that's something that's been on my mind as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I would want to say as well that the days that I have meeting after meeting are actually the least productive because I don't do anything and I don't have time to process stuff. And then what you mentioned now with the meetings without agenda, I think that's one of the things that's really hard to do in remote work. Because you feel the need to always be productive, but for companies to actually allow that and say, it's fine if you take 30 minutes out of your day to have a conversation with someone, because it would happen in the physical workspace. You would meet someone in the coffee kitchen and then you get to talking and then 5 minutes turn into 20 and it's fine because that's how you build the social capital, how you build the connection to people. And then later, if you're working together with them, that's what makes it easier for you. So that's an important aspect to consider and allow, actually.
And I think it's so even I work in innovation, so I'm supposed to take time to think about things, right? So even even with this role, I feel bad sometimes or I felt at some point, I mean, not too much, but there were moments where I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be out, I don't know, having coffee, going out for a walk or something like that. But so I had to fight that feeling of I'm doing something I shouldn't, thinking I used to do this in the office. I would grab someone, no, let's go outside for a coffee. I need fresh air. So I can imagine for people who are not in innovation and have a different scope, it might be even more complicated. But you said companies to allow for this. I think it's imperative. It's not about allowing. It's almost like you're doing, like companies are doing a favor to employees. I think it's the other way around. If we don't have this, then if companies don't do this, it will mean that they're not promoting creativity. They're not promoting space for innovation. So at the end of the day, it's not about giving that cookie to employees. It's about how important that is for the company itself as well. So it's good for both.
Yeah, acknowledging that we're humans and not machines in doing our work and that social interaction is a huge part of it. Yeah, now that's actually one of the cues that I'd like to go into because you've mentioned to me before as well that you were working on a tool for the digital work to foster those social interactions because you can't have them. And I think in the panel, we had a heated discussion as well over, do you need pool tables in the office and how fancy does the equipment need to be that the companies provide, boiling down to actually, again, acknowledging us as humans and our human needs for recognition and being valued more than actually providing the fancy pool table. But how does that tool work and how did you go about designing it?
No, that's a great question. I did love that that discussion we had on the panel. I loved your point around not pool tables that we need to be recognized. I think that was good. So this started for a couple of reasons. One of them was realizing how much I missed meeting people and socializing because I'm an extrovert, as I mentioned before. The second thing was having new graduates in my team that just joined during COVID. They just left university and suddenly they're working remotely exactly in the same place as they were the day before. So the whole experience of joining a company and the natural mentoring that would happen if you're sitting next to someone a bit older than you disappears, right? And then something else that happened was a colleague of mine from India that I'd never met. We ended up on having a call, a conversation. There was no agenda. It was just talking. And we were talking about how nice it was just to talk to people during the lockdown and without having to go into a meeting, you know, without an agenda. So thinking about all of this together, I started thinking, there is here a need. How do we help people when they join the company to feel like they belong? And actually, I was in an external event where someone mentioned that, I think they were CIO of a company, and they were mentioning how people that recently joined, especially people in early in their careers that joined the company during COVID, actually went back to their previous job because they didn't feel like they belonged. So retention becomes harder if people don't feel like they belong in a company, if they don't build those social connections. So I started thinking how technology could solve this. Still working on the concept, or I'm still working on the idea itself, on the implementation. We're piloting it now with employees, but we're building this platform and it uses VR, AR technology to try to promote socializing and a more fun and casual interaction between employees to promote socializing. And I think this is key for innovation and for, well, not only employee well-being and product and happiness, but also for innovation at the end.
Good. Now, I just thought you're kind of a pioneer in the digital workplace, and a lot of people are new to working fully remote and with all these digital tools. I have to admit, when I joined the company I'm at now, and it's a software company, I was very overwhelmed with the many tools we were using at the beginning. I'm used to it now, but at the beginning I was like, okay. Now, from your experience, what are the best practices or lessons learned you could share?
From digital workplace. Yeah. I mean, for me, one of the most important things is, well, making sure that you're working on the same version of a document, especially, yeah, well, so using the cloud services that we have now, so that you're all working on the same journey, you add comments to the same document so that you don't have, call it Madam Multiversion, so you don't have multiple versions flying around. So that's one of the things that I would advise people to do. The other thing is try less meetings and more messages. So sometimes I personally don't love email. I'm not very good with email. Apologies for all the emails I haven't responded to today. So I prefer sometimes a very, very quick instant message to say, look, where is that? Instead of a whole, I feel like emails for me, but it's just personal, that you need to take a bit more time to respond to. But so yeah, I think that having one space, obviously this depends on the technology that your companies have, but having one space where you have all of the documents, where you can all work on the same document, where you can collaborate, discuss what you're doing in the same place. I think combining all of that, it's perfect. We have Teams where there's other tools, there's Slack for that. I mean, different companies use different systems, but the idea is that you keep it to one place. As you said, when to use what is one of the big questions. So if you do all of your collaboration in one place and all of your communications and all of your documents in one place, that really, really helps.
Yeah, it does. If you stick to it.
It takes time. Yeah, and sometimes it's a lot of notifications in a lot of different channels as well. But yeah, the idea is that it's all in one place and everyone can see it. So transparency is very important. So you know where to go to find things. You don't need to ask, Marta, where's this document? You just go to the place where the document is. So,
and going back to messages, I think one of my best practices I want to share is, the good thing about that is you can actually turn the notification off.
Yes.
If you need to do focus work, because if somebody's standing at your desk looking expectantly at you and having a question, it's hard to send them away. But to be conscious with that and turn it off, and to I mean, it's a bit of psychology behind it to send that message out. I'm offline now. And that doesn't mean I'm not working. It means I'm taking time to work dedicated on something. So again, it's something around mind and being mindful of. But yeah, I think that's quite important.
I think that's a great tip. Thanks for raising that, because actually for this, while we are recording, I messaged my team saying, look, I'm going to be on a podcast. I'm in do not disturb mode just because I'm doing this. I'll be back in a bit. So I think it's building that culture with your own team to say like, look, if I'm off, it's not that I'm off. Like if something is burning, just call me on my phone or something like that. But yeah, building that. I think that's a great tip. Turning off notifications. It's one of my favorite.
Yeah. And especially also doing that, I think you mentioned that before, that it was an issue or a challenge that people work more to turn things off in the evening. Because I do see that with myself, that if I forget it and then something pops in at 9 p.m., I do look at it, which is probably not good.
You know what? So something else that we have that I absolutely love is on my phone, we have a separate environment for work app. So we have Intune, which means that I have a very nice, just next to Wi-Fi or close to Wi-Fi, I have another button, which is work mode, and I can turn it off at any point. So when I go on leave, I can turn off the work mode, meaning I don't get any notifications from work apps. And you can also set that for not working during, so you only receive notifications during work hours. So you can configure all of that. And I think that's also a great way to make sure you log off when you're supposed to.
We have a little bit of time left. And you mentioned it in the intro that you are involved in the LGBT. I don't want to...
Network?
Is it initiative?
LGBT plus Friends Network.
Plus Friends Network. Yeah. What are you doing there?
Back to that idea that I mentioned before about the importance of socialization in this community and other minority communities, I felt like it was even more important. So one of the things that I was co-chair for the network in the office. So meaning that anything that would have to do with the office experience, like organizing, would come to me. So we would organize coffee meetups for people to meet. And it's quite simple. So it's just meeting people from your community, making you feel like you belong. Again, you belong in the company. There is a space for you that you can talk to people that have been through the same experience. And obviously with COVID, I mean, we're stuck at home. So in the beginning, we used to have this coffee meetups virtually. But again, it's quite different. So when you meet people in the real world, in the physical world, you can have several conversations happening at the same time. So it's more organic. But when you're doing this virtually through a meeting, when one person speaks, everyone else is listening.
Yes.
Correct. Meaning that people tend to feel a bit more intimidated sometimes. So something that, yeah, I started thinking about this concept of this platform for making it easier to interact. And as part of the network, what else do I do? So I organized this plug to play, I think, events for charity where people in the office would play a game in our innovation lab, pay to play, and then the funding would go to a charity. And I've organized mentoring programs for employees to mentor young people from disadvantaged backgrounds, so people that would typically not have access to a tech company, and then suddenly they're in our office with our robot. Yes, I have a robot in my team. I miss her. She's called Pepper. She has an Instagram account as well.
Oh, I'm going to check that out later.
Pepper Vodafone, I think that's called. So she's in my team. I'm very proud. And we would bring the young people to the office to show them that experience and to show them that, again, diversity. We have a very diverse workforce. So anyone really can come in technology. And I think that was a really great program to be part of or to lead and to launch. I'm proud of that one.
Yeah, that's really beautiful to be able to do that.
Yes, it is.
And very rewarding to loop it back, to feel you're making a difference.
Absolutely. Somehow. Absolutely. And giving that opportunity for employees as well to give back, I think. So that's why it came from the network. So we try to promote it as much as possible from the network so that it is, yeah, you're giving back and you're showing people. You have people from diverse backgrounds, showing young people with diverse backgrounds that there is a place for everyone. It's quite powerful.
Yeah. Which is actually a great lead to my final questions. And the first one is, if you could magically solve any workplace problem, on-site or digital, what would it be?
This is a really tough one, I have to say. Just one. I mean, so One of them would be, is it just one? I just started.
If you have two really good ones, I'm going to allow you to.
Just good ones. Then they need to be good. Okay, so I feel like the one that has been on my mind that I can't figure out. So if anyone has the answer, please contact me. Now that we are more and more doing this hybrid work scenario, is how do you bridge the gap between the experience of someone who's in the office and someone who's not in the office? Because obviously there's a lot of benefit from having someone remotely. You have more diversity. You can tap into a bigger talent pool. But you're missing out on all of this social serendipity and organic encounters and all of that. So if I could choose one to fix, that would be the one.
A very good one. I think a lot of people would vote for that as well, to have that solved.
Same flexibility with all the benefits of meeting your colleagues in the office. Well,
yeah, maybe it boils down to the typical life, you can't have it all lesson.
Exactly. but you said magically, so...
Yeah, that's true. But maybe the solution, bringing it away from the magical place, is going to be to acknowledge that you can have it all, but not all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It will involve some organization around it, that you meet the people you want to meet and then still run into someone coincidentally. I don't think that's going to go away, but...
The problem is you don't know who you want to meet if you don't know them. So that's the tricky part. The organic...
Yeah, but again, that boils down to life, right? You don't know who's the one that you want to meet, and then somehow life always finds its way. And I would be hopeful that this happens in the workplace as
me
well.
Me too.
Okay, now final one. I know you're a podcast, you like podcasts. So I'm actually turning to you with a question. Who should I talk to on this podcast? Who would you be interested, maybe to help solve that question around how to combine the two worlds, or somebody else? And is there something you would like to ask them?
Again, I want to challenge. Can I say two people?
Sure.
So to me, I would like to hear two people on the different sides of the spectrum in terms of experience. So someone like a Gen Z, someone who just left university, they're joining now companies in this new world, and they're very good at, hopefully, they're very used to technology and meeting people virtually. And then someone who has a lot more experience and would typically be the mentor for this young person. So how do they see the difference in this new hybrid world, and the good and the bad, and where are the gaps in between? Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's good that I granted you the two. So that's actually a really good suggestion to look at that. Marta, it's been a real pleasure. I really enjoyed the conversation and I learned a couple of things about digital and innovation. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of The Workplace Leader, there is more. Go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. We have just released a study on corporate real estate in the US that you can download there. Or tune into our next episode of The Workplace Leader.